So we're honored to celebrate this beautiful feast of the most sacred heart of Jesus. And some of the popes have talked about how central this devotion is to our faith. And I would describe it maybe in this way, that in the heart of Jesus we see the intersection between the divine and human love, right? So all that we know and study about the incarnation of Jesus and what Jesus has not taken upon himself in the incarnation, it can't be saved, right? So he took on our entire human nature, our human nature in its entirety. So Jesus, who is God from the beginning, who is the heart of God, has come to reveal the heart of the Father, also has a human heart, a heart like ours. So in that sacred heart of Jesus, we have this meeting place between the divine love and human love. And we could say it's human love to its maximum capacity, because Jesus was perfect, because Jesus came to reveal to us what we were created to be, as well as to reveal the Father's love to us. So in this sacred heart of Jesus, we have this beautiful intersection, this beautiful meeting place between divine love and human love. And that's why it attracts us. That's why we should be able to run to the sacred heart of Jesus, just regardless of what's going on in our life, to be healed by the love of God. God loved us first, but then to be restored so that we can love, so that we can love as God has created us to. So I just have three points today as we honor this sacred heart of Jesus and want to delve more deeply into that beautiful devotion. The first one is maybe an encouragement, that we can bless God equally in our sorrow as well as in our joy. We can praise and bless God equally as well in our times of sorrow as we can in our times of joy. Okay? So we have this great instinct that comes from our short-sightedness, that if we have a sorrow or a grief or a pain, that we want to get rid of it as soon as possible, right? Take it away, Lord. Take it from me. Let's avoid it, right? We all know about this, right? This is our instinct. But we can bless God equally as well in the times of sorrow as we do in the times of joy. Every moment is the perfect moment to praise God. Every moment is the perfect moment to bless God, to turn everything over to him. So in the heart of Jesus, we see the joy of the nations, but we also see the man of sorrows who bore our sorrows. So whatever we got going on in our hearts, we should never be hesitant or afraid to bring it to the sacred heart of Jesus. And he'll teach us to bless God equally in our sorrows as we do in our joys. That's the first point. The second point is a quote from St. Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Teresa. She encourages us to open your hearts, she says, open your hearts to the love of God that he will give you. He loves you with tenderness. You and I have been created for greater things. We have not been created to pass through this life without aim. And that greater aim is to love and to be loved. Okay, perhaps you've heard me quote this before. But so many, if we look around, right, our culture, are aimlessly wandering through life. And we need to be roused to remember we're created for something greater, and to open our hearts to that greatness, right, to the gift that God wants to give us. The aim, the purpose of our life is very simple. God created us to love and to be loved. Once we realize, accept, and practice that, we will no longer be aimless, right? We won't be wandering through life. So this Sacred Heart of Jesus is what reveals this tender love of God that Mother Teresa is talking about. The tenderness, right? That heart that's open wide, pierced for us. There's space for us in our misery, in our pain, in our difficulties, right? The tenderness of God is revealed in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So open your hearts to it, Mother Teresa says. And we've got this sense of aimlessness, you know, the rebel without a cause, right? This angst, right? And we feel it in the world, don't we? But there's something worse than that. It's complacency, drifting through the universe, not realizing that we're made for something more, for something great, for something beautiful. And when Jesus revealed his Sacred Heart to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, he said, "Behold this heart which has loved man so much and receives only ingratitude." Right? The complacency, the coldness of our hearts is what wounds the heart of Jesus the most. But when we realize, when we encounter something great, the heart responds, doesn't it? Hopefully it runs towards that greatness, but sometimes because of our fear, sometimes because we feel threatened, we run away from it. But we do respond, our heart does respond. So when we realize the greatness of the love of God revealed in the Sacred Heart, right, pray for that grace to be open, to be attracted, to draw near. To love and to be loved. This is our aim. This is our purpose. This is exactly what we encounter in the heart of Jesus. The heart that loved us first, as St. John tells us, that's what love is. Not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us first. We encounter that love, and we're invited to give love, to love in return for the love that we have received from that beautiful Sacred Heart of Jesus. So that's the second point from Mother Teresa. Let's reclaim our aim in life, to love and to be loved. The Sacred Heart can help us to do that. The third and final point here has to do with, you know, we hear from Jesus talking about coming to him with our burdens, and he will give us rest. And I think that's a very beautifully attractive, something that we want, something that our hearts long for. We need this. We need to be renewed. We need to be restored. We need to be revived. But, brothers and sisters, in this life, rest exists not as an end in itself, but as a means to a greater end, okay? When we go on vacation and we come back more tired at work than we were before, right? That wasn't the purpose of the vacation, right? The rest is for the sake of the mission, right? Jesus invites us to find rest in him so that we can be empowered, we can be strengthened, we can be emboldened to take on the charge that he has given to us, to carry on the mission, right? It's not an escape, it's a rest, it's a revival, so that we can do what he's asking us to do. Think of St. Peter, right, who after his great fall from grace, denying that he even knew Jesus 3 times, as Jesus was arrested and being condemned to death. But Jesus comes and finds him while he's fishing, and he takes him aside and asks, "Peter, do you love me?" And he's inviting Peter. He's saying, "Come to me. I know the burden that you carry. I know the burden of your grief, your sorrow. I know the burden of your guilt. I will give you rest." And that's such a beautiful healing moment for Peter. In the heart of Jesus, he finds rest. from his tormented mind. But at the very next moment, Jesus says, feed my sheep. Okay? He gives rest so that he gives a mission, so that we're ready, revived, restored for our mission. Okay? That love of God that we encounter in the Sacred Heart of Jesus leads us to the love of neighbor. Okay? Gets us ready for our mission. And this love can't be some bland, generic, and mushy love. Okay? If we model it after the love that we see in Jesus, it's a fiery love. It's a specific love. It's a love with a texture and a bite. Okay? It's not bland or generic. Okay? So what do I mean by that? I mean that if we're going to love our neighbor, we have to allow their stuff, their life, their mess into our hearts. Just like the heart of Jesus allows our stuff, our mess, our life into his heart so that he can love us in the way that we need to be loved at that moment. So if we're going to love, if we're going to take on this mission, after finding rest and renewal in the heart of Jesus, we have to be ready, not for something bland, but for a real fiery, specific love of our neighbor. We can think about it through the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, right? It's not from a distance, but it's feeding the one who's hungry. It's sheltering the one who's homeless, admonishing the sinner. Right, calling them to the right path, counseling the doubtful, those who are drifting away in their faith, consoling the sorrowful. You can't be effective at any of those things in a generic way from a distance. This is what love is, to enter into the real life, the real reality of people's sufferings, and to share the love of the heart of Jesus with them. Real love is real specific, okay? So bless God in our sorrows as well as in our joys. We can do that equally. Let's search for the true purpose of our life, to love and to be loved. And the refuge that we find in the Sacred Heart of Jesus is but a mere preparation for our mission, to love as we have been loved by Jesus, personally, specifically, intensely. So we pray today that this encounter with the Sacred Heart of Jesus might transform our own hearts. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us.